I would like to read four short passages of scripture, and the first is from the second epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And then can you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke 16 and verse 27. And he said, I beseech thee then, Father, that thou wouldest send him to the house of my father, for I have five brothers, so that he may earnestly testify to them, that they also may not come to this place of torment. But Abraham says to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one from the dead should go to them, they will repent. And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, not even if one rise from among the dead, will they be persuaded. Can we turn to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 26, Acts 26 and verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a little thou persuadest me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God, both in little and in much, that not only thou, but all who have heard me this day, should become such as I also am, except these bonds. And finally, 2 Timothy in chapter 1, and in the middle of verse 12. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him. It will be noted that in all of these scriptures that I have read, that the word persuaded comes in. And we've read of, in the first scripture in Corinthians, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In the other scriptures I've read of those that who would not be persuaded. I've also read of someone, a man who was almost persuaded. And I've read of a man called Paul who was fully persuaded. And my great desire and God's great desire today, as this gospel message goes out, is that, dear hearer, you may be persuaded in relation to the great matters, eternal matters, in relation to your soul. In the first scripture in Corinthians, we read of the terror of the Lord. It is revealed that there is wrath of God upon all unrighteousness. Soon, God is going to have to come in and judge this whole universe, this whole world, because of the way that it has turned against him and the way that it has treated his son. But at the present time, God in his wonderful mercy is letting his gospel, his glad tidings, the good news concerning his son be proclaimed. Because it is God's great desire, my dear friend, is that you will be blessed. He does not desire that you to come into judgment. He desires you to come to a knowledge of the truth and to come and put your faith and trust in his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot really understand what the terror of the Lord will be. But the Apostle Paul, in writing this epistle to the Corinthians, could speak of what he knew. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, he persuade men. Who will be able to stand in the day of judgment when God comes to judge this world? It seeks in the revelation of men seeking to hide themselves in the rocks, because they realize that it is God's day of his wrath. But dear friend, your soul, your never dying soul, needs to spend eternity somewhere. And that is why we are preaching tonight. That's why the word is going out this day, that you might be brought to a knowledge of the truth, that you might be convicted in relation to your own soul need. And so I read of this man in Luke 16. Luke 16 is one of the most sobering passages of Scripture because it speaks to us of what happens after death. You speak to people today, they say nobody knows what lies beyond. No one has come back to tell us. And really, this was the essence of what this man who found himself in Hades was saying. That if one should go back from the dead, they will believe. This man who found himself in Hades has spent his life of luxury. It says earlier in the passage, making good cheer in splendor every day. He was unconcerned about the poor man Lazarus who was at his gateway. He was having a good time. He was enjoying himself, surrounding himself with luxury. He didn't give any attention or time to the things in relation to his soul, to the things of God. Until that moment, it says that he was buried. He passed into death and was buried. And you know, dear hearer, we all know that we are under the penalty of death. And the reason we're under the penalty of death, we all know that we have to die, is because we are sinners. We have sinned against God. Maybe not a very well-known or popular word today, but it's what the Scripture calls sin. And that is lawlessness, disobedience against God himself. It tells us in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Death is passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. None of us can escape from this situation that we find ourselves in, but we can, if we listen to God's appeals and grace today, we can find a way in which we can know what it is to find eternal life, to find that we can be saved from our sins and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so I would appeal to you to pause and consider as to where you stand in your life at this present time. Are you like this man? Have you just been carrying on, enjoying yourself in this world, surrounding yourself with luxuries or involving yourself in business or pleasure without giving any consideration to the things of God? The sobering thing is that it's the Lord Jesus who is speaking here, who is revealing to us in this scripture the unseen world of departed spirits. This was not known before Christ came, but think of him who is the one who has this power over all these things, revealing in the scriptures to us what happens after death. And this man, this rich man, found himself in torment and suffering. He hadn't considered for his soul in his lifetime. Scripture tells us, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world but suffer the loss of his soul? And this man found himself in this place of torment, and he wanted alleviation, so much so that he pleaded with Abraham. He says he pleaded that he send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in the water and just cool his tongue to give him some alleviation. But the truth comes in that this couldn't happen, because it says in verse 26, besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm is fixed. Yes, death fixes a situation, dear friend. What you do in your life, whether you repent or whether you don't, if you refuse God's overtures of grace, if you die in your sins, the situation is fixed. And you will spend eternity in a place of torment and suffering. This man was really suffering. And so he says, where we started in verse 27, I beseech thee then, Father, that thou wouldest send him to the house of my father. If there was no hope for this man, at least he felt there could be hope for the house of his father. He had five brothers, and he didn't want them to come to this dreadful place of torment. He wanted them to be someone to go to them, to tell them that not to come to this dreadful place. And so the answer is given. It says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You see, God has given testimony in his scriptures in relation to these things. Moses and the prophets, speaking of Christ, speaking of God, speaking of these matters. It would appear that this man knew of Moses, he knew of the prophets, but what he didn't also knew was that his brothers wouldn't take any notice of them. So we have the scriptures, the word of God today. How many have read it? How available it is in this day, and yet how many bother to read it? Thank God there are those who are seeking after God's word and are seeking to read it. May you be found among them, because in the scriptures, it's they which speak to us of Jesus. The Lord Jesus could say that, they are which shall speak of me. And so this man pleads with Abraham that someone would go and tell them not to come to this dreadful place. He knew they wouldn't listen. He knew they wouldn't repent in relation to the scriptures, in relation to the word. He says, but if one from the dead should go to them, they will repent. But what a sober answer it is. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, not even if one rise among the dead, will they be persuaded. Oh, how solemn that is, that they will not be persuaded. Will you be persuaded today as hearing this message in relation to your soul? Or are you going to be one of those who ignore all that has happened, all that God has done for the blessing of your soul? Because the great truth of the gospel is that one has risen from amongst the dead. One has come back. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who came here to suffer and to die. The one who has fulfilled the great sacrifice that was required from God in relation to the matter of the sins. The Lord Jesus Christ has given himself. He suffered on the cross for sins. He's the just one. He suffered the just one for the unjust ones, that he might bring us to God. God has made available to you through the gospel, through the glad tidings, a great basis whereby he can bless you, that you can be forgiven of your sins, and that you might have peace with God, because the Lord Jesus has come here and suffered on that cross, the cross of Calvary of which we speak, the cross of shame where he was humiliated, where he was abused by men, where he was cast out and rejected. When they put Jesus on that cross, they passed by and they mocked him. Aha, thou that says the Son of God, come down from the cross, save thyself and us. Oh dear hearer, the truth is that Jesus, if he were to come down from that cross, there would have been no basis whereby God could come out in blessing to us, to his people, to men, to his creature. There was no basis that God could bless us unless the work was completed. So Jesus hung on that cross for 3 hours. 3 hours he hung there, receiving the retribution from men around, the abuse, as I said, and the two robbers on either side of him who cursed him. But the Lord Jesus hung there for those 3 hours, and then God closed that scene in darkness. And Jesus hung on that cross for another 3 hours. And in those 3 hours, the whole work of redemption was accomplished when Jesus suffered in his body on the tree. What he entered into, we will never fathom or understand. It was only Jesus who knew what sin meant to a holy and righteous God. Think of who Jesus was in himself, as God himself, God manifest in flesh. And yet there he was as a man, hanging on that cross, suffering, taking the judgment of God upon him. And dear friend, the great news and the glad tidings that Jesus, he endured the wrath of God, and he completed the work, because he could say at the end of those 3 hours, it is finished. But think of what entered into the soul of Jesus as he hung there. He could say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, there was no answer then from his Father. There was no answer from God. He hung there and he endured the suffering until at the end, as I said, of those 3 hours, he could say, it is finished. And having uttered a loud cry, he expired. Oh, the tremendous fact that Jesus went into death. He was a man who was without sin. You remember I said that we all die because we are sinners. Jesus never sinned. He was perfect, holy, Lamb of God. In him sin was not. And yet he endured, as I say, in his body, the whole penalty of sin, that there might be a basis whereby blessing could be brought to people today. that cry after those 3 hours of darkness, after he has given up his soul. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he expired. After that, the soldiers came to break the legs of all those that hung upon the cross, a cruel method used to speed the matter of death upon those who were crucified. But having found Jesus already dead, the soldier pierced his side with a spear, and out came blood and water. And that, my dear hearer, is the whole basis of blessing for you and for me. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. What God requires from us is for us to put our faith and trust in the work of Jesus and to accept the work of atonement for ourselves, to realize that blood was shed for us, that we might be set free from our sins. And so then those disciples, those men came to take Jesus. Nicodemus and Joseph took down the body of Jesus and they laid it in a new tomb. It says in the psalm, it says he was with the rich in his death. And he was put into a new tomb where no one else had ever laid. And there he lay in death for 3 days and three nights. And then on the third day, the Lord Jesus came out of death. He rose again. It says he was seen of his disciples. Think of that woman of old, Mary, seeking a saviour at the grave, and the angel that said, why seek ye the living one amongst the dead? He is not here, he is risen. And dear hearer, that is the great thing and the glad tidings, that Jesus is not in death, he is risen. And he was seen of his disciples. He was seen of 500 people at once. And then it was witnessed after 40 days, his ascension up into heaven, where it says in the scripture, he has been received up in glory and is sitting at the right hand of the greatness on high. And there he waits in tender grace, dear friend, to hear you cry out for forgiveness. And he wants to bless you, and is available to whosoever to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the great testimony is that one has come back from the dead. But this word here is, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, not even if one rise from among the dead, will they be persuaded? Well, are you going to be persuaded today? Or are you going to be like so many who will not be persuaded? They do not want to listen to God's overtures of grace. Well, God has given us an opportunity to turn to him today, to be persuaded in our own hearts and souls that there is a Saviour for us. And so I read in Acts 26 of this man who, it says, in a little thou persuadest me to become a Christian. He was almost persuaded. What a situation. Was Agrippa being sarcastic? Was he jesting? Or was he real? I don't know. God knows. But you know, here was a man who had a tremendous opportunity. What about you? Are you almost persuaded? You know, almost persuaded is not enough. There's that old gospel hymn, isn't there? Almost persuaded, one of the verses. Almost persuaded, but almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Oh, my hearer, do not stand in this valley of decision any longer. Do not wait. Do not think about it. Commit your heart to Christ. Repent and believe in the glad tidings. It says in the scriptures, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way of blessing, to believe in the one, in the person, in the Lord Jesus, who has finished the work, and to repent of your sins. The great need there is to repent, to realize that we've offended a holy and righteous God. And unless you repent, you will never be blessed. So what was it that Agrippa meant here when he said, in a little, almost persuaded? What was holding him back? His pride? His position? A few verses earlier, when Paul was preaching, Festus had shouted out, thou art mad, Paul. Much learning has turned thee to madness. Is that what people are afraid of if they become a Christian? People will think they're mad to have these crazy ideas. Or they're Or does it mean that you will be rejected of your friends? You think of the humiliation it might mean to you? What are you putting in your balance tonight? What are you thinking of? Think of the eternal welfare of your soul. As I referred to in the previous scripture, that there was a fixed situation and that man was in torment and suffering. The blessing is so near to each of us today. All we have to do is reach out in faith. Reach out in faith to Christ and to the Lord Jesus, the one who has loved us. He shed his blood for us. He shed his blood to save us. He gave his life that he might gain you. You will never come across love like this. The greatest love in the universe. The love of Jesus. And God commends his love to us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he is available to whosoever should call upon him. So here was Paul. Think of this. I will commend this chapter to you. Incredible chapter of Paul, the prisoner of Rome, we might say, but he speaks of himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Been brought before this great king and his wife and the Roman court and all these high dignitaries that were there. And he was a man as a prisoner and a Roman chain about his arm. And he could preach the great glad tidings concerning the Lord Jesus. He could testify as to the way in which that he had been met on that Damascus road. Think of how God turned his life around. Think of that moment when the light above the brightness of the sun struck him down and a voice called to him, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? He says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You see, the apostle Paul, and he was previously known as Saul, was one who thought he could do everything. He wanted to wipe out Christianity. He hated them. His hatred was so strong that he persecuted them. And when Christians were put to death, he gave his vote. Think of the life that he had led. And think of how God reached out to him and struck him down. And God wants to reach out to you today, dear friend. He wants to reach out to you, however you might be. Maybe you have committed dreadful and awful sins. Maybe you think you're too bad. Maybe you think there's no hope for you. Well, I can tell you that there is hope in the glad tidings. There is hope in the Lord Jesus as the only Saviour. Trust you will reach out in faith to him. And so Paul, when he was giving his defence, originally he was brought before this court because Festus had said the reason that he'd been committed to the authorities, he spoke about a certain Jesus who is dead, whom Paul affirms to be living. Oh, what a wonderful thing it was that Paul affirmed to be living. What a confusion that was to a person like Festus. Jesus who is dead. And maybe that's how you view Jesus. But we preach a living Jesus, a risen Jesus. And Paul says to Agrippa in this chapter, he says to him, why should it be judged a thing incredible in your sight if God raises the dead? Oh yes, the resurrection, what a matter that is. And you know, there's going to be a time when all who are in the tombs will hear the voice of the Son of God and all will be raised. Believers in the Lord Jesus will be raised and they will go to be with him forever. Unbelievers will be raised to face the judgment. But all are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. You see, Jesus has power over death, over Satan, the devil, the adversary of your souls, the one who's seeking to stop you coming into blessing. Jesus has power over all things. And so the great matter that Paul preached here to Agrippa was the matter of the resurrection. Oh, don't mock the resurrection, friend. It is a reality. It is truth. And one day, if you die, you will be raised again. That is certain. If you die as a believer, you'll be raised to go to be in the presence of the Lord. If you die as an unbeliever, you'll be raised to face judgment. Look back again at that scripture in Luke 16. And see how that man was in torment. And so Agrippa was almost persuaded. And maybe there's someone listening to this who is almost persuaded. You may have been in this position before where you've almost become a Christian. You thought, if only I could make that step. But I would plead with you, make that step in faith and just call out in all your need. I can't exactly give you the words, but just say like that one that was drowning in the Gospels, Lord, save me. And the Lord will reach out and he'll save you. And he'll bring you into blessing. You see, the great thing that God has in mind for you is blessing. We speak of blessing and the glad tidings is the forgiveness of sins and being saved from death, and that's true. But God has so much more in mind for you. He wants to bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And God has wonderful things in those who believe in Jesus. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing that is. One who will be in you. If you, he will seal his work in you, and then he will give you his Spirit in you, in your heart. One who shall be with you. The power to live as a Christian until that wonderful day when we shall be caught up to be with the Lord in glory. And so here was a man who was almost persuaded. And finally, I want to speak of one who was fully persuaded. Paul says in the Epistle to the Romans that he was persuaded that what God has promised, he was fully persuaded that what God has promised he is able to do. And here he speaks in this scripture here, nearly at the end of his life, we believe, when he wrote the second epistle to Timothy. He says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. You see, Christianity is not a set of rules. It's not just a religion. It's about a person. I know whom. It's not what you know. It's whom you know. Do you know Jesus in a personal way as your own Saviour and Lord? As I spoke about Paul giving testimony on that, or what happened to him on that Damascus road, how he met the Lord on that journey. And from that moment on, he became totally convicted in his own heart in relation to the living person of the Lord Jesus. And so he was one who was fully persuaded. And I would desire that anybody listening to this tonight, that you will be fully persuaded in relation to the matter of your sins and the need of a Saviour. But two, that you'll be fully persuaded that you know this blessed person, the Lord Jesus, as your own personal Saviour. Well, may God in his mercy reach out to you. If you're on the back and in the point of decision, the valley of decision as we speak about it, may you reach out in faith to this blessed person. Ask the Lord Jesus to be your own personal Lord and Saviour. You know, it's a step you will never ever regret in your life. It's a step that Paul never regretted. The moment the Lord met him and turned his life round, and he could speak about everything that he had previous in his life as being a waste of time. He counted it all as filth, as rubbish, on account of the knowledge of the excellency of Christ Jesus my Lord. Oh, wouldn't you like to come into real joy and blessing? And Paul was persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him. All that you commit to Christ, all that you commit to God, he is able to fulfill his promises and keep them. And for that day when you shall be forever in the presence of your Lord, the eternal day when God will manifest his power and he will tabernacle with men and he shall be your God. Well, I trust that there may be some who are listening to this message today that they may consider where they stand. Don't be, go along with those who will not be persuaded. Don't be one who's almost persuaded, but be one who is fully persuaded. And as I started, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do not delay. Commit your heart, commit your life to Jesus today. And may you find the joy and peace there is in believing for his name's sake and for God's eternal glory. Amen.